Into hour number two, we're talking a lot of NBA today. We had Kyle Lowry back on for the first time in a minute or so. He was tremendous. Man, he is tough. That is a tough, tough dude. Great to have him on. That was last hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Your telephone number, as you know, is paid for. Coming up in hour number three, Nikola Vucevic, Orlando Magic Center, will be joining us, but we start hour number two by talking to a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He is host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, very good friend of the program. He is Ben Golliver. Ben, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I'm down here in New Orleans. It's just like the afterglow of Zion Williamson's debut. I think I'm still buzzing a little bit. Wild night. I mean, starts so slow, then just, you know, cranks it all the way up in the fourth quarter, and then they just shut him down. He disappears for crunch time because of the minutes limit. I feel like it was just a very layered and textured kind of narrative performance, right? A little bit of like good, bad, and the ugly.
You've done this before, Ben. You already hit on like five of my questions, but let me start right there. You were in New Orleans last night. You still are. You were there for the debut. Now, you and I have talked about this in the past, but for the record, how many times had you seen him play in person before last night?
Look, I'm getting this reputation. I heard from so many people last night that they're convinced I'm the jinx, Jim, because I've seen him twice. The first time he blew his shoe at North Carolina when he played for Duke. The second time he made it 8 minutes into his summer league debut after they sold the whole building out and tickets were going for $400 for a scrimmage, and he gets a minor knee injury and he was done there. So I was two for two on kind of ruining his basketball night. And he started so slow, right? I mean, the first three quarters, people were saying, you got to leave the building. We need this guy to kind of turn it on, and you're the jinx.
Yeah, Ben Golliver joining us. And that's right, people were losing their minds for all the wrong reasons in the early going. Like, Ben, what kind of expectations did you have for him in his debut? Because, you know, there were so many people just waiting to say he's overrated, he's going to be a bust. Like, in your mind, what would have been a successful night?
Yeah, I came in expecting something like 16-8. You know, I thought that was kind of a conservative. I knew there was going to be a minutes limit, but I feel like when he's on the court, he just racks up stats. He's one of those guys where, you know, his physical presence is always felt. I didn't know how he would look physically. During the pregame warmups, he took it kind of easy. You know, he didn't really break out the through the leg windmills and all that stuff. So I was wondering, okay, well, maybe is he trying to ease back into this? And I think that's really how it went to start. I mean, Alvin Gentry said it, he played passive for the first half. And they basically needed to kind of unleash him in the second half. But I started to see some of the things I was hoping for. When he's going through and grabbing contested rebounds and bodies are just flying off of him, when he's catching a lob pass in traffic and finishing it with his left hand over the defense, when he's stepping up confidently and hitting those three-pointers, that's not the book on him, Jim. He's not known as a three-point shooter at all. I mean, that was never the strength of his game. San Antonio and Greg Popovich were just trying to dare him to shoot it, and he just kept shooting, and hit four of them in a row. So we got a little bit of everything from him, but I do think I maybe expected just a touch more because I thought he would play more. And limiting him to 18 minutes, it feels very conservative, very restrained from the Pelicans. And you can just tell they're trying to take the cautious approach.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. That's interesting. I was going to say to you, because no sooner than that went down, the complaining started online and on the broadcast about that minutes restriction, almost implying that the team really didn't know what the hell they were doing. So what do you make? You started that thought. What do you make of how David Griffin, Alvin Gentry, and the Pelicans training staff have handled his recovery from the very start, actually?
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, first of all the complainers, they're just like kids at a candy store, and the candy store closed early. You know what I mean? And
right.
They're looking in through the window saying, oh, man, I want to keep eating, basically. I mean, nobody wanted that night to end early. They stretched out his recovery basically an extra month from the original timeline. He was supposed to come back in kind of early to mid-December. They wound up being very cautious. He said he was very frustrated. On Tuesday, he told reporters he felt like he wanted to kick some chairs at various points of his recovery because he just couldn't move how he wanted to move, and it was dragging on and taking so long. And so for him to finally get a taste of the action, to really put it together in the fourth quarter, and then to have to watch from the sidelines, it's got to be agonizing. But you know what, Jim? I kind of like it. He pushed back a little bit in his post-game press conference. He wasn't just going by the book of saying what, you know, the right thing to say, quote-unquote. He was saying, I wanted to be out there. I'm not worried about my longevity of my career. I want to go out there and win a game. I love his competitive spirit. I think it's a huge part of what makes him such a tantalizing prospect going forward and such an important figure for basketball going forward. And the idea that he's just over there seething because he didn't get to be on the court for crunch time, they lose that game. I think, honestly, that could be the best thing to happen to him, you know, because as he goes forward, he's going to remember to cherish those moments once he gets them.
Ben Golver is joining us. He's in New Orleans. So let's talk about him going forward. Nobody, as you point out, Ben, is expecting him to be an elite three-point shooter over the course of a season. So what did you make of the rest of his offensive game? Like, was that where you ultimately expected to be, or is that still a major work in progress as he continues to get into shape?
Yeah, he needs to get into better shape. I mean, for sure. He was, you know, clutching his shorts and holding his waist during three-game warm-ups. And like I said, he wasn't really going that hard. So that was a little bit of a warning sign to me. You saw him come out very early in the third quarter. Again, he had a couple turnovers, was really tired. And Alvin Gentry was basically just like, look, you know, catch your breath. I mean, that's what it looked like to me anyways. So I think we're going to see more from his offensive portfolio as he does get back into shape. But what really stands out to me is just the quick burst. He goes from 0 to 60 off the dribble so quickly. He's really tough to contain in those scenarios. And then they also do a really nice job of mixing it up offensively. So he's on the move a lot, and it's almost like a, you know, a football running back going into motion or something like that. They play a very unique style to maximize his athletic gifts. So we're going to see a lot more from him offensively than we saw on Wednesday night. He looked a little bit bottled up and contained. He did look like he struggled to finish in traffic around really long defenders, and that could be an issue for him because he is a little bit shorter, and I do think they're going to play him at center a lot. So he's going to be going against guys who are longer than him, you know, pretty regularly. But, you know, to me, there was enough flashes to be, you know, come away from it thinking it was a promising start, and I just think there's going to be more to come. You know, all the pressure, you know, all the anticipation. I mean, he was talking about how he couldn't sleep the night before. There's dozens of media members at their practice. I mean, the whole thing is, you know, it's a real showdown here. And I think as he acclimates to that, as he gets more comfortable to that, we're going to see his natural skills unleashed.
He's 19. Let's not lose track of that fact. Ben Golver joining us. You know, Ben, that point you made about him going from 0 to 60 down the court and doing it so fast, you know, with that power, a couple of moments really stick out to me. I love that rebound that he had over Jakob Poeltl, who, by the way, had much better position, is much taller, but Zion just bodies this guy and out-jumps him for the rebound and then starts to break the other way at a very high speed. What did you think when you saw him do that?
Well, have we ever seen a guy posterize someone on a rebound? I mean, is that what
right.
happened? I think we have
exactly.
a new category for to track for Zion Williamson. Oh, it's crazy. You mentioned his age a minute ago. Can we return to that? Because so many teenagers who started slow in a high-pressure moment like that, or even just NBA players in general, regardless of age, they would get to that fourth quarter and say, you know what, I got my feet wet, everything's cool. There might be that tendency to just mentally settle and to say, you know what, like, you know, write it off. You know, I can come back and play again on Friday night. There's going to be another 40 games for the season. You know, chalk it up, and it's okay. I just had an off night, right? Zion did the exact opposite. He did not settle. He welcomed the pressure. He stepped into those three-pointers so confidently. They were daring him to shoot it, and he was like, you know what, screw that. I'm going to go out there and do it. And I love that response from him. Again, I think we focus so much on the physical tools, the overwhelming stuff, that the mental makeup gets lost, the competitive spirit, the desire to be the center of attention, you know, feeding off of the crowd, you know, a couple heat checks in there for sure as the crowd was getting excited. He understands the moment. And then there's just this charisma and this moxie about him too, Jim. He's got the star power, and these are reasons why I'm so high on him, and I've kind of been you know, banging the drum for Zion here for the last couple of years.
No, you certainly have. You certainly have. You said, in fact, and Ben, I know this, you regard him as your large adult son. So as yeah. being his, since he's your large adult son and you're his not as large adult father, what would you say to him after that performance? And what do you want him thinking about going forward?
Yeah, you know, it's a proud moment for his adopted family. Look, I think there's a lot of people here in New Orleans who are catching the fever, right? This is a football town. I went around and talked to people for a story for the Washington Post yesterday. It just basically like, what do they make of Zion, right? And they're still in this kind of hangover effect from LSU football's title, which was only a couple weeks ago, and the Saints season just ended. And so this idea that they can kind of ramp up for Zion, it's kind of convenient timing for them. But they're also not used to be, you know, treating Pelicans players in the same way that they would treat like a Joe Burrow or, you know, Coach O there for LSU. I mean, those guys are like kings. They're deities down here. And I think, you know, even during the height of the Anthony Davis era, maybe he never quite ascended to that level. But I think Zion, you know, it's a phenomenon, right? I mean, we see it nationally. Everyone wants to talk about it. He's going to lead all sports coverage here basically for the next 24 hours. And even the 24-hour run-up to the game, you know, he was the lead story pretty much everywhere. That's going to continue. And I think here locally, you know, I think that the fans and the fan base are going to really realize what they've got with this kid. There's going to be more special moments. And I think he's going to just be the adopted son of the city.
I mean, he is electric. So, Ben, do they feel like a playoff team with Zion?
Well, here's my problem. The playoff race is so crowded that even a loss like last night for them, it matters a lot, right? I mean, there's so many different teams, like five, six different teams all jockeying for that eighth seed. And they're, you know, playing from behind because they got themselves into a little hole when Zion was out. To expect him or to put the pressure on him to turn that whole thing around and down the stretch and to play consistently enough coming off of an injury to sort of be the boost that they need, I think that's expecting a little bit too much. You got some good teams in there, San Antonio, Memphis. I mean, they're both starting to put it together. Even Phoenix has been putting it together here pretty recently. So they've got some hurdles for sure. The good news, though, they have a very easy schedule the rest of the way. And I think, I mean, just imagine the payoff, Jim. Can you imagine the first-round series, Lakers versus Pelicans,
amazing.
LeBron versus Zion, Anthony Davis's old team versus his new team, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart against their former team. I mean, the storylines would be crazy. TV ratings would be out of control. I'm sure somewhere in New York City, Adam Silver's, you know, kind of circling that one and saying, man, maybe we can get that.
I mean, it would be one of the best things ever. He is a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He's the host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast. And as I mentioned, a very good friend of the program, Ben, great job. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your thoughts.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care, man.
Good job, Ben. Well done. Ben Golliver talking about his large adult son, Zion. He's so right. Can you imagine a first-round matchup between the Pelicans and the Lakers and all those storylines? It's kind of curious that he said in New Orleans, even AD did not have that kind of heat, that kind of energy. I mean, different players to be sure, but different guys. Zion is just so charismatic and so electric and loves it all and is so embraceable. Like, in all those things that Ben talked about that he is, the one thing we didn't really get into is this is just a really good young guy, a really good kid. I mean, he's 19, but a really good young person. Great teammate, great kid, extremely coachable, but hungry, really motivated, really competitive, and not content to say, man, that was good. That felt pretty good. Knocked down some threes. They're chanting my name. They're chanting MVP. I'm good. He was like, no, I don't want to come off the floor. I want to win. I want to win right now. I, for one, would rather see them err on the side of caution and be conservative and not do anything reckless with this guy. We've already seen, there's already questions about his durability. He's already had a freak injury. You can't. What I'm saying is you can't be too careful. I'm fine with it. You want to put this guy in a pitch count? You want to put this guy in a minutes restriction? What, did you not get enough last night? Was that not enough? Was that not great enough? I'm fine with it. They're handling him the right way. Still ahead, I want to get into episode 113 of the Jim Rohn podcast. My point in saying that is, even if you hate MMA, you will love this conversation. I can look in any other sport, and I don't think I could find a guy like Jorge Masvidal. So even if you don't like that sport, you're going to like this podcast. I'll have that for you. Also, when we come back, I want to talk about Eli Manning. You know, the elephant in the room. Is Eli a Hall of Famer? And that is so tired and so lame. That's an easy, easy question to answer. That's not polarizing. There's no debate there. I have the answer as to whether or not he is. And I'll have that for you this hour. Look around you right now. It is now officially a wireless world. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. Go with Raycons. Raycons start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands that you know of. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of play time. You get seamless Bluetooth pairing. You get more bass, and you get a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and they're discreet. There's no dangling wires or stems. They're perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking telephone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Cardi B, Snoop, have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it's your turn to see what the hype is all about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Rome. 15% off by going to buyraycon.com/Rome. Raycon wireless earbuds. One more time. Raycon.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Talking Orlando Magic basketball, top of the hour. Big man Nikola Vucevic joins us then. 1-800-636-8686. The big push very much underway. I was in Kansas City over the weekend for the NFL and CBS in the AFC Championship game. I was in La Jolla yesterday to do our annual pilgrimage to the Farmers Insurance Open. I will be in Dallas on Friday night for the O'Reilly's managerial convention. I will be back here on Monday. I will be in Miami on Wednesday. Big push. And we're pushing out podcasts all the while. In fact, let me stop right there for a minute. I spent some time talking yesterday at Torrey Pines about episode 113 of the Jim Rome podcast starring Jorge Masvidal. Now that it's posted across all the different podcast platforms, I want to play some of the sound back because it really is awesome. And because Jorge has an amazing story, and we went deep for more than a half hour on this. Now, you may know him from his rapid ascension to superstardom this past year, but don't get that twisted either. My man's been fighting for a long time. He's always been fighting, way back to his days as a teenager in the streets of Miami. He was fighting in the streets before he got inside the cage. And back in the day, he was running with and learning from the legend himself, Kimbo Slice. I asked him to lay out exactly how street fighting and backyard fighting goes down. I want you to listen to this. This is really unusual. I don't know if you know about this. Maybe you've seen some of the video on YouTube. But I asked him to lay out exactly how that goes down and what it was all about.
So let's say I had a friend that I was betting on, and I was like, my boy's going to beat up your boy, Jim. Your boy's like, nah, you know, we're going to win, so now you're going to come up with some type of cash formula, and I'm going to do the same thing, and then me and you will come up with the rules, you know, like the fighters will be like, oh, I don't want no takedowns. So, like, the people making the deal or the fighters with themselves will make the deal, like, I don't want no takedowns, no kicking, or if not, they'll say, yeah, all out, kicking, takedowns, punching, submission. So that's pretty much how it goes down. That's it, and you get in there and may the best man win. No eye gouging usually. Usually have all the same, you know, no hitting the low groin, the jewels, whatever they're calling them these days. No poking of the eyeballs, no fish hooks. And that's when you stick the fingers in the mouth and you, like, yank the cheeks. That's a dirty technique. That's usually not allowed in street fighting either, you know. Oil checking. Oil checking is highly prohibited as well.
For those who do not know, what is oil checking?
Oh, man, if they don't know, they got to Google that term, Jim. That's like a, they got to go Google that oil check term. But that happens a lot in, like, in grappling and fighting. Guys, you're playing dirty and checking the oil, and man, then you got to f*** them up after that.
Wow. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes when I do these podcasts, I do them, and I'm in the moment. But then I hear it in playback, and I'm like, damn. Jorge is amazing. So that he's laying out the rules of street fighting. He said, essentially, it's kind of like the neighborhood, right? The guys who were there make the rules, and it probably changes neighborhood to neighborhood, but there are certain things that you just don't do no matter what in any neighborhood. And not that I would ever go against this guy. I would suggest that maybe you don't Google that. So I mentioned that Jorge has been fighting for a long, long time, and he has. However, back in 2018, he took some time away to kind of emotionally, mentally, metaphorically kill off the old version of himself in order to resurrect a new one. And that resurrection took place in near complete isolation. I hit him up on exactly what that meant and exactly what that entailed.
You want me to just tell you right here, right now?
If you would, yeah, I do.
I was going to wait to drop it on my book, but I like you, Jim, so I'm going to drop it on your shoulder. It's all on us, you know? I feel personally, my creativity, a lot of my visions, my thoughts, how I do things comes from isolation, being by myself, only having my opinions and thoughts in my head. So if I'm thinking about going out there and doing a flying knee, and let's say one of my corner men or people like that, you know, just to give you an example on a day-to-day, are just maybe being negative towards that idea. No, because, you know, when you throw that knee, you could miss, and if you miss, he could grab you, and if he grabs you, he could take you down. Man, a lot of times you don't need to hear him, you know, and for that, that's a technical point. So I would hear something out like that to know the goods and bads. Like, imagine somebody has stopped me from throwing that knee. One of my coaches or dear friends or somebody that I have a lot of esteem for was like, no, don't do that. It's a bad idea. Imagine that, you know? I think that happens to us a lot in life. Human beings, they hear the wrong thing. Maybe they hear a song. They don't even know it. That song is just putting you down. Later on in the day, they're getting bad news. They don't get to fully be themselves. I think isolation for everybody at some point is key. Just you and your thoughts, you know, and see what comes out of it.
Like if somebody talked you out of that knee, like how different would your life be right now? I mean, you and I might still be having this conversation, maybe, or maybe we wouldn't.
We wouldn't. It'd be a lot of things. I wouldn't probably get fight of the year because I might not have knockout of the year to give me that extra. A lot of things. Not that it would have been bad, but it would have gone completely different.
It's so fascinating, right? Like I said, even if you don't like that sport, even if you have no need for the sport, how can you not like that conversation? I mean, he cut me off. He said, no. I mean, it might not have been bad, but you and I would not be having this conversation if somebody talked me out of that knee. Because without that, I don't get the knockout of the year. Without the knockout of the year, I'm not the fighter of the year. So the new version of Gamebred won three times by knockout in 2019. He did rip the fighter of the year. He did rip the knockout of the year in the process. And Jorge told me that after he put Ben Askren to sleep with that flying knee that ended that fight in 5 seconds, that his entire life changed almost 5 seconds later.
I used to be able to go out in my city and do shopping, like go to the grocery store. Maybe like one person recognized me. It's cool. Now that I can't, I'm not an internet person, but I've completely switched to the online everything. Because if I go to the superstore now in my own city, it's like 30 minutes of a photo shoot. And it's tough. You know, I can't do that every time I go to a grocery store. I'll never get to practice. There was a time I was fighting in Japan, and I was starting to fight more and more. I had a total of 5 fights in Japan. But around, like, the third one, they started broadcasting me a lot more. I had some knockouts already over some world champions that were from Japan. And I started to create a buzz to where I'd be in the streets, and Japanese people would recognize me. And, hey, let me get a picture. And I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. People here in Japan started to really recognize me. But nobody knew me who I was back home in the States, and I was still getting decent money. So I thought, I go, wow, this might be it for me. I might be able to get rich and keep my freedom still, not be famous, but now that's not how I ended up being. It's also very humbling because a lot of people tell me, they relate to me from where I started, and a lot of people get inspired by that, and that's something that I didn't think I was going to be doing, inspiring people to better themselves. So it really blows my mind.
Jorge Masvidal, you can tell by listening to him that he's a very different cat, and I mean that in the best way possible. You can tell by listening to him how mindful he is, how thoughtful he is, how deep he is. Nothing he does or says is by accident or by chance. You know, we all need luck, but where he is right now is not because of luck. He put in the time, he put in the work, plenty of measured thought into who he is, who he wanted to be, what he was trying to get done. And finally, an enormous source of inspiration for all of this comes from a philosophy that he learned from reading and a quote by none other than, and this blew my mind, this is great, a lot of what he does and thinks is based on something he read from Abraham Lincoln.
I always say this, but Abraham Lincoln says it best, and he gave the recipe for the whole world. If you want to be successful, just listen to that quote. If you give me 6 hours to chop a cherry tree, I'm going to spend 4 sharpening my tools. That's crazy. That's nuts, isn't it? I'm not going to put somebody through a 3-hour seminar to find out the truth. I just gave him the truth right there. And we just made whoever's listening and takes this to heart rich. We just made somebody rich. Just put it in your heart, go out there and get it done.
Holy crap. You know how much money and time he just saved you all? You do not need to spend a couple of $100 to go to a 3-hour seminar. He just said it. We just made people rich, Jim. Put it in your heart. if you're going to take 6 hours to take down a cherry tree, spend 4 of the hours sharpening your axe. It's like he's like, I have the secret. I have the secret we all want. I'm going to give it to you now, Jim. Are you ready? I'm going to give it to your listeners. You can all get rich if you just take it to heart. It's so good. None of that's fake either or contrived. This guy lives in the gym, sharpening his axe. And when it comes time to take down that cherry tree, he's got the blade to do it. That's the bottom line. Ask my man, Nate Diaz. Nate's amazing. Ask him. Ask Ben Askren. Ask Darren Till. They know all those dudes were either KO'd or TKO'd. And that's by design. Because Jorge, and there's one more note, Jorge told me he is done with decisions. He is done putting in this in the hands of other people. He's not doing that anymore. He's moved from decisions to decapitations.
I can't win a fight. I know that for a fact on a decision. I just know it. At some point, you got to stop going against the grain. I can't win a fight on decision. I have to take it out of whoever's hands they thought that they were going to judge my fight. I have to take it out of their hands because history repeats itself in history, and we don't do well with decisions. That's what the baptism is. Because if I beat you on decision, it's not even really a win in our book, you know? Before I went on this nice tour, I was the king of the split decisions. You know, and I started thinking, how about if I won those split decisions? Nah, it wouldn't separate me from the pack. It put me in a weird cluster, you know? So I had to create a formula to always separate me from the pack. So there's no, I won by split decision. No, I won by decapitation. The dude cannot no longer compete, you know? He's been disabled. I hit the off button on him. That was my formula for every fight going forward.
Dude, have you ever heard an athlete say something like that? I can't win by split decision because it doesn't feel like a win even, and it would not separate me from the pack. So I moved on from decisions to decapitation. I had to end them so they could not compete anymore. This is what this guy brings with him into the cage every time he fights. And he straight up told me that if Conor McGregor wants any of that, he's going to jack him up so badly that people who hate Conor will actually feel sorry for Conor and forgive him for smashing cell phones, swinging on old dudes at pubs, because they will have so much pity and empathy for him because of what Jorge does to him if Conor does fight him. So, who knows if that fight's ever going to happen? Jorge, though, is ready if it does, because my man is sharpening his axe and getting ready to make 2020 even bigger than 2019. And 2019 was life-changing. Check out this podcast right now. It's on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com. As always, go to the link I've got pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. It is an amazing episode. Whether you like MMA or not, trust me on that. You just heard part of it. Especially that last soundbite where he's no longer about decisions, but decapitations, just to be sure. Amazing. Jorge Masvidal. As you can tell, he's the one holding the BMF belt. Baddest mother bleeper. He beat Nate to get that. When we come back, phone lines are open. Use them. Also, Eli Manning retiring. My thoughts on that and where that leaves him, his legacy, all still ahead. Right now, I've got a sports update. Here is the latest on a busy Thursday. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't look now, but look who's got a share of the lead at the Farmers Insurance Open. Charlie freaking Hoffman, if you need him. He is currently as I'm checking this. 3 under through six with a share of the lead. The same Charlie Hoffman who was on this show yesterday. San Diego's finest. He is a class act. Next time you want a protein snack, get rid of the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Charlie Hoffman, minus three through six. He knows that track, except if you were listening yesterday, he's made a point of how different that track is now than it used to be. And the evolution and the changes that have been made over the years. Let's check the email quickly. Jaime, you know Riv is right around the corner. Is the pigeon going to abandon his wife and kids again to spend 4 days with his loser bros dressed up like PGA Tour pros and embarrassing your show again? Just curious. Steven S.A., unwar adults trying to slap hands with the players when they walk by. All right, so in the aftermath of yesterday, when, God, it was so great. It was, Tony Finau started the program off, and Adam Hawk and I were talking about it. When he walked out, Hawk said to me, damn, man, that guy looks awesome. He looks awesome. He is really put together. I said, absolutely. Tony Finau does look amazing. And the incredible thing is, you know, he has not won since 2016. That's amazing to me with the kind of game he has. And he will. It certainly is not a question of if, but a matter of when. He is way too good and such a good dude. We talked about that. Also, my man Pat Perez was incredible. Pat Perez was incredible on air. Pat Perez was incredible off air. And no sooner than we finished that, Pat's like, dude, when are we doing that podcast again? He is so great. He also had an awesome post up on Instagram about his experience on the program. And then the guy probably wouldn't appreciate it too much. And I'm not making something out of it because it wasn't something other than what I'm going to say it was. But a few hours after the show, my phone buzzes. And I look at it. I'm going to see if I can find it right now. I'm just going to read you this tweet or this text that I got. Just a one-line text. Rome, thought of you today, my guy. Kill 2020 with a fist. AK. The Unicorn. Anthony Kim. And you have to understand about Anthony Kim. You know, I didn't even tell Hawk because I know Hawk would be like, dude, get him for the podcast. He's Anthony Kim, Hawk. He's invisible. You can't just get Anthony Kim. If you get a text, and I do, like maybe once a year, and I never know when they're coming. Just like I'll try and hit him once or twice a year, like, yo, thinking about you. And I honestly, knowing AK, I don't even think that was in response to R being a Tory. I think he really was just spreading good vibes. Thanks, just being Anthony Kim.
Fan, you know that.
Anthony Kim, man, I don't know anybody in golf that doesn't hate that he's not playing. I don't know anybody in golf that doesn't think that AK was a freaking stud, a monster, a beast. And not only one of my favorite golfers ever, but one of my favorite athletes ever. And I would never not do my job. I mean, I know it's my job to try to get AK to do a podcast or try to get AK to be on this show, to try to get AK to sit down and tell a story. But there's a million guys doing their job trying to get him to do that. Part of me just kind of respects that he made his decision. He's not playing. He walked away. What I'd really like to do is get Perez, who I'm sure is great with AK, and just sit down and have one of Perez's vodka and sunny delights, or three or four of them with AK. Man, my man had so much swag. God, he was amazing. Amazing. So I'm just going to take that text, and there was nothing to it. That was just it. Like, yo, AK, what's up, bro? And that was that. And then he just disappeared. He's like the most mysterious athlete I know, Anthony Kim. So yesterday was all about good golfing vibes. Tony Finau. We had Rex Hoggard, Rex Seven, Charlie Hoffman. Good day. Really good day. In addition to that, oh, well, you clones came in. After the show, I had a few people, too, stop by the set, which was fun. 1-800-636-8686. Jocko picked up the phone. He called in. Imagine Jocko on the golf course. Jocko is a pretty good athlete now. Jocko is spending a lot of time in his gym. He's got a gym. He's a big jiu-jitsu guy. Jocko surfs. Jocko gets off the mat. Jocko is an absolute behemoth in the gym, lifting. I bet he could play some golf. Or just skip the course altogether and go to Torrey Pines Beach and surf. Hey, Jumpman, I've been a listener for a long time. Today, I finally got the chance to see the show on TV. I love it. But I got to know, are the dudes behind the glass required to wear plaid? Or is there a lumberjack competition that they all got to get to after the show? Chris from the real Portland in Maine, not the fake one in Oregon. Dude, he's got an amazing point. What are you dopes doing? Did y'all call each other? That's so true. I love a guy who's, quote, I'm a longtime listener, but I've never seen the TV show. You're finally now realizing we're on TV. This just in, if you're listening on radio, we are on TV and have been for a couple of years now. CBS Sports Network, TV simulcast. The entire radio program is simulcast on television every single day. And the fellas on the other side are rocking plaid. That's true. At ATH Legend tweets, Eli Manning announced he's retiring. They hired Jason Garrett. He may bring in Freddie Kitchens. I'd retire too. Three words for Saquon. Ice up, son.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
What? That's the short version. Hey, Rome. Eli was not very good, but he played for like 20 years. So, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Signed, Franklin G. Steven PHX. Romy, Eli's retiring. Eli who? Signed the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Casey, New Hampshire. I'll get there. Jim, very bummed to hear about Eli retiring. Now he will have to go back to mowing neighbors' lawns and saving his allowance money. Thanks. Drew in West LA. It's not bad, Drew. It's not bad. Let's try Harrisburg. Jason in Harrisburg. Jason, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, Jim? I hadn't listened to the Masvidal pod yet, but these MMA fights that last less than a minute crack me up. You've got fighters training for months. You've got people throwing down for pay-per-view. And you've got people packing into an arena to see the fight, and it lasts less than a minute. Look at last Saturday night. Cowboy's 40-second ride in the octagon with Conor McGregor makes one of Lisa and Indy's two-minute lunchtime baloney pony rides seem like a never-ending.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Jason, don't be an idiot. That's the closest I think I've come to F-bombing on the radio in a long time. Come on, man. You know, we can talk about the first part of that. I know a lot of you were really bent that you threw down for that pay-per-view and you got Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone and that went 40 seconds. I understand that. I'm not one of those people. I paid for it. I was not unhappy with it. In fact, I thought it was really compelling. And I paid for it, right? They don't hook me up. I don't get reimbursed. I go into my pocket. I pay for it like a fan. So I understand. Now, if you're upset about that, I get that. Keep Lisa in Indy's name out your mouth, especially with that reference. But again, Jorge Masvidal, he took that flying knee and knocked Ben Askren the hell out in 5 seconds. That's some of the best money I've ever spent. Because like he said, if not for that 5 second knockout, he does not get the knockout of the year. Without the knockout of the year, he does not get fighter of the year. So it's not about how long it is. I'd rather have 5 seconds of that than five rounds of nothing. I get my money's worth that way. When we come back, Orlando Magic basketball is our topic. Nikola Vucevic is my guest. That's next. Stay tuned.